Welcome to Managing Uncertainty, a podcast series from the experts at BrightPath discussing global risk, business continuity, and crisis management. Will you be ready to lead your organization through its critical moment?
So somebody screwed up big time. We've had to terminate one of our senior executives for personal misconduct in the workplace, and they've been let go. So today was their last day.
Quietly.
Very quietly. There was an internal announcement that they have decided to leave the company for personal reasons, and we thank them for their service. And against our advice, the company has chosen not to disclose this individual's departure. And as a privately held company, there's no reporting requirement. That's cool.
And the rumors start flowing.
And the rumors have started to flow. So that was this morning. And now it's 8:05. And we've been called by the senior vice president of communications at this same company. And they just got a call from a producer at 60 Minutes who has the story.
Thought we were in the clear.
We thought we were in the clear. And we don't know. They don't know what 60 Minutes knows. They just know that they're calling. Therefore, they must know about the personal misconduct that was committed by this individual. So now we're in the race. We're behind.
We are way behind.
We're way behind, but now the race has started.
We're back at the start line.
So what we're talking about here is really reputation management and dealing with the media from a communications standpoint. And as we talk about, I think the thing that we hear a lot as a consulting firm is that, look, I want to control the spin. I want to control the story. I want to
control the media.
Social media.
Yep.
And I don't remember who said it, but there was the famous quote that you shouldn't pick a fight with somebody who buys ink by the barrel.
Yeah.
And it's we do this all digitally now, of course, but it's true. And I think the notion that you can control the media is just utterly ridiculous. You can't. They're going to write and say on the radio and appear on television and say the things that they want to say.
Employees are going to post things on social media.
Employees are most definitely going to post things.
Going to be completely made up stories.
There'll be some great fake news out there, I'm sure. Real fake news in this case. But while you can't control the media, you can interact with the media and you can influence the story in a lot of different ways. And I think we always kind of, when we're talking about communicating in the midst of a crisis, we always talk about the idea of a holding statement. You're using a statement because, well, you may just not know the full extent of what's going on. But we talk about this a lot with like active shooter and natural disasters like earthquakes and tornadoes where there's minimal notice, minimal warning, and then something really bad has happened. And you don't know the contact, all the details, but you got the call from the media and now you're on the phone and you can't dodge the call when you're on the phone.
Yep.
So what do you say?
On one side, you're trying to figure out what's going on. What are the details? On the other side, you have all of these questions in your other ear constantly. So you have to get in the race.
You have to be in the race. So we start with the holding statement. And the holding statement can be, you know, in an actor-shooter situation, for example, I think our default holding statement we teach people is along the lines of, earlier today at our Memphis, Tennessee location.
Or wherever.
Shots were fired, resulting in a law enforcement response to our manufacturing facility. At this point in time, we were working with the Memphis Police Department on the situation and towards a resolution. And all of our efforts are geared towards ensuring the safety and security and well-being of our employees and the visitors to this facility. And we'll know more and be able to share more in about 30 minutes. That's an effective holding statement. I think the joke I always said was, if your mom heard that on TV from you, she'd be proud of you. And, you know, you've kind of set the stage that you have some things, you got some themes across in your communication. And now you're waiting to learn more and you're going to come back in 30 minutes and be able to share something.
Yeah, and you're keeping the focus where it needs to be.
Which is on your team.
Right, the team and their families.
What this does raise is that in any company, we've talked a lot about incidents becoming crisis situations. And this is a great example of one that's just reputational, where you need a rapid response process that is tied or is built into your crisis management process. So that when something happens, you know about it and you can respond to that in a fast, efficient manner. You can get the right people on the phone through your crisis management process and you can get the right approvals for communication to deal with something. So if you got Steve Kraft from 60 Minutes calling, you're able to escalate that quickly and come up with the response that you're going to have. Because if you say nothing, then that'll be the story. The story will be what they already know, and you should just assume they know everything.
And in the absence of anything, they're going to make up a story. They're going to make the story in the absence of you saying anything.
They're going to make a compelling narrative that
they are.
And part of the narrative is that you refuse to comment.
Yes. It's going to be much more entertaining than what you could come up with.
So you have an opportunity not to control the situation, but you do have an opportunity to apply some factual spin to the situation by telling your narrative the way you want it. And it's interesting to see. You can do this by working with the media and cooperating with the story in hopes it'll turn out well. You can also take an approach that we just saw used in politics, where while instead of waiting to do the interview and telling your story, you can just dump your narrative out and tell it. And that's an interesting approach because it changes the story from what they were going to make it to what you've dropped out as, well, here's what's going on.
Yeah.
That's a risky strategy, but in the right environment, that can work by going right out and telling your story.
Yep. And being honest and doing it quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lying to the media is bad.
Lying to anyone is bad. Your mom will not be proud of you.
Your mom will not be proud of you. But no, you don't want to be dishonest. You need to be very straightforward and very factual and very honest about things. The example that I think we've used previously on the being dishonest with the media story is that during the data breach at Target, Target had told a story about how the data breach had occurred, but they wouldn't release any documentation. And then almost 2 years later, information security reporter Brian Krebs, who writes the Krebs on Security blog, somebody gave him the after action report, the internal after action report from Target on what had happened. And Brian wrote a whole article about, hey, the most interesting part of the whole thing to me isn't how they did it. It's that the factual narrative of what occurred lined up exactly with what Target said 2 years prior. If Target had lied and the document got out 2 years later, that would have been a front page story.
Yeah.
And fortunately, it was none of that. It was nothing. Mm-hmm. Because they were honest in their response, as we would expect them to be.
So never underestimate the complexity of what could come out. So you've got social media, you've got employees that are posting things, you've got the media itself running stories. Don't underestimate that complexity. And so, like we've been saying the whole time, if you keep it simple, stick with just the facts, you can keep up with and be a part of that narrative.
There's definitely a speed aspect to dealing with that complexity, that this process of rapid response and crisis management through a crisis management team and your senior executives, it's got to be a smooth process where you've thought through this, how you can bring those facts forward, craft the narrative that you want, get that narrative approved, and then the right spokesperson providing that to the media. And it will depend a bit on your company's culture, but you know, often we want to see a senior executive who's making that statement and not necessarily the communications team being the one that's putting the statement out.
Right.
That's coming from your CEO or another appropriate senior leader in that situation.
Right. So the media, the people, the consumers of the media, they're going to want to hear it from leadership.
Right. Right. Communications, coming from communications is going to sound like spin.
Yep, they're not going to believe what they're hearing. So
right.
They're going to make up another story. So, topics that we've kind of discussed here. So the leadership aspect of it, sticking with the speed, not underestimating the complications that you may see, being truthful, and in general, keeping in the race, staying in the race.
And I'd reinforce that remaining silent is usually not at all the right thing to do. There will be some situations where being quiet is the right play. But really, you want that opportunity to get out in the race and start to contribute and influence the story or tell the story on your own without relying upon media to be the channel. But we wish you well as you work through that situation.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Managing Uncertainty, produced by the experts at BrightPath. To receive notifications of new episodes, join our newsletter at brightpath.com or subscribe through your favorite podcast player, such as iTunes or Google Play. Learn more about the services and trusted advice from BrightPath by visiting brightpath.com. That's BrightPath.com.